You're listening to Feathers, a podcast of stories about God speaking and his people having just enough faith to believe him and obey. I hope these stories inspire you and encourage you to take flight in your own faith. I'm your host, Amy Bennett, and this is Season 5, Episode 7. Well, hey friends, and welcome to Feathers this week. I wanted to start out sharing a very special deal for just you guys. I'm sharing it with you guys before I share it with anyone else, and I'm doing something a little bit crazy, and I'm putting the Feathers mug, get this, 75% off. If you haven't seen them, these mugs have the Feathers logo in gold on the front and then Psalm 91:4 on the back, and they're just such a great reminder of God's faithfulness while you enjoy coffee or tea this fall or winter. And these would make a great gift as we enter into the time of Christmas. It could be great for your teachers or your friends. Maybe you have some cousins or some nieces that would like them. Just get two mugs and a bag of coffee or a gift card, and you have an awesome Christmas gift. So to get the deal, go to amyjbennett.com/shop and use the code MUGS, M-U-G-S, MUGS, to get this amazing discount. That's 75% off. That makes each mug only $4. Such a steal. I really think my guest today would approve of this deal because today we are talking about resting on Sabbath. Shelley Miller is my guest. She's a ministry leader, a blogger, and an author. She started the Sabbath Society a few years ago and has recently released a new book called Rhythms of Rest. She shares the story of her family being called to move to London, England, but wrapped up in all of that is what she's learned about Sabbath from the Sabbath Society. And I think you're going to really enjoy this. So let's go ahead and jump into my conversation with Shelley. Well, hey, Shelley, and welcome to Feathers today.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Yes, I'm so glad to be able to talk to you today. So why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Okay, happy to do that. I am a mom of two young adults. I have a 17-year-old son that is living with us in England, and I have a 20-year-old daughter who is in Raleigh, North Carolina. And my husband and I, my husband's a vicar in London, which is this, just a word we use for pastor or minister in the U.S., and we moved to London about 18 months ago on a Macedonian call and didn't exactly know what we were going to do, but we just knew that God was calling us to England. And so we've been there about 18 months. And my book, Rhythms of Rest, just released in October, on October the 4th. So I'm on a book tour right now in the U.S. and enjoying every minute of it.
Yes, I've been enjoying your Instagram post. You have such lovely pictures on there. I have wanted to make a quick connection. So I am actually in South Carolina. I know before you guys moved, you were in Myrtle Beach. Is that right?
Yeah, we lived in a small resort town called Polly's Island just outside of Myrtle Beach.
Okay. All right. Well, I was just a few hours away. I'm actually in Fort Mill, just south of Charlotte.
I noticed that, that there's a lot of good people in South Carolina.
Yes, yes. Yep, so we vacation down, actually in Garden City, which you'd know, just south of Myrtle Beach.
Absolutely.
So we love it down there.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's a beautiful, beautiful area. I was just there with my daughter. We had 24 hours in Polly's Island and surprised people on their doorsteps with some books and just really had a nice time. The weather was gorgeous as usual.
All right, good. And I realized that I just missed you while you were here at the Nest Fest. So that was just like 45 minutes from my house, and I had a conference at my church, so I did not get to get up there that weekend.
Oh, you missed a really fun event, and I hope Michaelin does it again next year. It was a beautiful day. There were just lots and lots of creatives doing amazing, amazing work there, and loved meeting people, signed lots of books, and met some authors, and it was just a wonderful atmosphere. And hopefully we'll get to experience that again next year.
Yes, they're also doing a, I've been up there to the White Barn. I think when Emily launched her book last August, I was able to make it out there. It feels like I was there for some other reason that I don't know. But they're doing the Hope Writers, not just the Hope Writers, but the writing session, I guess, this weekend too, and my daughter's birthday is this weekend, so I'm not able to make it out there either. I'm like, oh, all
darn.
These fun things happening.
Well, they're just such inspiring people, aren't they, Michael and the sister?
Yes, the whole family.
And yeah, they're just amazing, putting so much amazing content out there, and really their generosity is very humbling. They're always doing something, thinking about others and how we can be better at our craft, so I'm sure there'll be lots of opportunities in the future. I love that white barn. It's so beautiful. She's
mm-hmm.
decorated it beautifully as usual.
Mm. Well, I want to talk about your book and really your story of how you guys got to England. They're so intertwined. The way you wrote about it, and I think that's the way God was writing the story of really rhythms of rest and Sabbath, and then you guys moving, getting called and moving over to England. But I guess really it's going to be interesting to see how we can talk about both these at the same time, because they really are like a parallel track.
Yeah.
Of each other. But I guess tell us about, I think it really starts with your Sabbath Society. So give us a little background on what that is.
Okay. So about 3 years ago, I was living in beautiful Polly's Island, and we were enjoying living there. We were making more money than we'd ever made in our marriage, and our kids were doing well academically and making friends. They were involved in youth group, and we were seeing a lot of fruit from our ministry there, but no one would have known I was walking around with a deep sense of loneliness inside. And, I guess, you know, you can be in a place where people speak the same language, but yet the way you view the world is so different that it leaves you feeling isolated and lonely. And so there was a little guilt about feeling that sense of loneliness in such a beautiful place. And the Sabbath Society really started on a prayer walk one day. I was putting Christmas things away. It was sort of, we were at the end of that season, getting, Monday was arriving, and I was a little sad, as we get sometimes, putting all those beautiful Christmas decorations away. And my mother-in-law had flown back home to Phoenix, and I was looking ahead, and I just kind of was feeling sad. And, you know, I wanted that sense of belonging that we often have when we experience vacation or a holiday, when you're just with people who really know you and love you, and you just have that sense of being known and loved for who you are. And I just abandoned everything and decided to take a prayer walk at dusk. And I was just kind of having it out with God, and I just was saying to him, you know, I believe that you want me to feel the way that I feel when I'm with family more than 2 weeks out of the year. And oddly, I heard the word in response, Sabbath. And I knew it was God, because Sabbath was nowhere on my radar. I wasn't reading about Sabbath. I wasn't pondering about Sabbath. And I began to think about what Sabbath really means. And it is a day set apart. It was the first time he called anything holy was on the day that he created a day of rest, the seventh day. And holy, I think sometimes we associate with, you know, a set of rules or spiritual hoops we need to jump through, but really holy means set apart and different. And so I began to investigate what Sabbath really means, and decided that I would begin, I felt a nudge from God to begin to incorporate rhythms of rest into my life, to experience Sabbath in a new way. And I invited people through my blog called Redemption's Beauty at the time, to see if anybody wanted to do it with me. Because, you know, sometimes when you do anything new that's a discipline, whether it's Bible reading or diet and exercise, doing it with a friend makes it a lot easier. So I thought, if I have a handful of people help me, that would be awesome. So I called it the Sabbath Society, began a weekly email of encouragement, just with resources around the web, some easy recipes and things. And I think the first week we had 40 people, and now we're on our way to 2,000. So it's been surprising how a little email of encouragement has really proved to be transformative for a lot of people.
Mm, that's interesting. I had not read the history behind all of that. It's just amazing how you, I love that, you know, sort of part of it that's community.
Yeah.
So important.
Yeah, it really is. And so really, Rhythms of Rest is a book that I always tell the Sabbath Society, it's our book. It's not just my book, because so many of the stories in the book are not my own. They're what I call Sabbath Society peeps. It's their stories as well about how they really persevered in trying to find moments or half days or hours or days of rest in their life, and how it really has transformed their health, their marriage, their relationships with their kids. And as I say in the first chapter, one of the people I share her story, she says, "I like myself more," and her husband noticed it. So, yeah.
Wow, that's huge. I've been in those places where you just don't like yourself anymore, and you like can't get away from yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, you know, I think hustle and hurry, it diminishes who we are in a way that's really pervasive in our culture. But I think we feel trapped. We feel trapped by our to-do list. We feel trapped by our responsibilities. And so it's a vicious cycle. And I think when we take the time to just even start with a few, you know, 15 minutes or, you know, a half a day, a couple of hours, to just be still and rest and abide with Jesus intentionally, we begin to sort of hear what our heart is saying when we can't hear it, when we're busy. And we do begin to see ourselves the way that God sees us. And all the things that we're doing come back into focus because, we're able to do the things we're doing because God created them and He created us for purpose. And I think sometimes we get it backwards. We think we're doing in order to be, and we need to be first.
Mm, yes, that is so good. This reminds me of your chapter that you talk about prayers and epistles, and really how, I guess this chapter really started with the word writ, W-R-I-T, mm-hmm. and that had really, I guess it had a lot to do, it was kind of signposts, I think, for some of your journey over to England. So can you talk about how that word came about and how that has to do with the Sabbath?
Yeah. Well, I think I was that morning that writ sort of came to me was we were on vacation and I was in Canada in a place where I rest really well. We have a family cottage. It's been in my husband's side of the family for, I think, 60 years now. And we love spending time there as a family. It's sort of the place we go back to remember who we are and that we belong. And one morning I woke up in the middle of a dream, and I had that word sort of floating through my mind, and it was such an interesting word. It was a word, you know, that I had not really thought about in a long time. And God used it, you know, words speak to my heart, are heart language for me. And so I love the etymology of words. And often when I'm reading scripture, there's certain words that God sort of takes as a little highlights for me. And they often have purpose and meaning. And the short story is basically writ became sort of this love letter, or a way of Jesus really speaking to me in a really profound way. And as far as our call to England, it was really a Macedonian call. I mean, my husband and I have a real love for British people, and we traveled back often. Being an Anglican vicar, we had a connection to a lot of people, a lot of influencers and leaders, and flew back about once a year. We have a long history there. But we always had this just amazing tug in our hearts to want to stay longer than just a couple of weeks or a week or so. And we just sensed that God was saying it's been almost 2 years ago, I guess 3 years ago now, that God was saying, it's time to do something different. It's time to let go of the work you've been doing, the work that's been fruitful, and enter a new season in London. And it was the first time really God asked us to, we've sensed God asking us to do something without knowing the complete plan of where we were going or how we were going to get there. So it was a little scary.
Absolutely. So you guys end up stepping down without really knowing what's going on. And I love how you talk about this in a chapter about arrows and how God really used an arrow to confirm. And I love that because it's so similar into really the story behind this podcast with feathers. We were in the midst of adopting and not really sure, you know, I just really needed to confirm, you know, some confirmation that we were headed in the right place because it was just so difficult for me. And I went on a walk, and it's a longer story, but I ended up finding three feathers on my walk after asking God specifically to find one. And so just really felt that confirmation. And it just reminded me when you're talking about your husband stepping down, you guys going in this new path, and then you have this kind of picture of an arrow. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. On Valentine's Day, my husband and I flew to Dallas to meet with his then boss of the church planting movement that he was leading at the time. And his boss had the intention of bringing us to Dallas because he was hoping that we were going to move there. And so he was showing us around and showing us, you know, telling us about the area. And he didn't know that we were going to Dallas to tell him that our time doing what we were doing was, we felt, was up. And so at the same time, when I was in Dallas, my agent, Chip McGregor, happened to be in Dallas hosting a mini conference for potential authors. And so it was the first time that I would actually be able to meet him in person. And so while my husband was meeting with his then boss, I was at this conference meeting my agent Chip. And as we were flying back home, I just had this profound sense that God had sort of flung us into the air as we were taking off into the plane, basically saying to God, okay, you know, you've pulled back the arrow, you've shot us into the sky, there is no going back. This is your reputation on the line. Basically what I was saying was, I'm scared. I don't know exactly how this is all going to turn out. We've left a job. We know we have income for a certain period of time. We have a daughter getting ready to go to college. What's this mean for our kids? All those typical questions that you ask when you take a leap of faith, and with no answers, really. No specific concrete answers. And as I was looking out, as we were ascending into the clouds, looking out that oval window, I just, in my mind's eye, I saw an arrow flying through the sky. And I just sensed that God was saying, I'm with you. And I also sensed him say that we were going to have some cloud cover, meaning we were going to begin to enter a period of time where we wouldn't have concrete answers, but we had to trust that he was guiding the arrow. And that when we landed, the atmosphere, the terrain, the landscape was going to look different than what we imagined. And so that's all I had with me. But it was a sign then that God continued to reveal over time. As I share in Rhythms of Rest, arrows began to sort of present themselves as a way for God to reveal his nearness with us when we really felt the pain of silence when you're going through a waiting period. And you're crying out to God and you're not seeing concrete answers. Those little arrows were signs that he was near, he was with us, even when we didn't see tangible evidence.
Right. And we won't go through all the details. We'll save all the the good story for people that pick up the book and read it. Clearly, you guys ended up in England.
Yes.
And he launched those arrows, and I think it's incredible. You guys ended up waiting, and you got to a point where you didn't have any income. How long was that wait from the time that he stepped down to when you guys actually moved? It seemed like a long time.
It was. It was about 14 months.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Yeah, it was a long time. We faced things like my son. We kept my son out of school for about 9 months. It was supposed to start his junior year of high school. And we kept being told that, you know, it would just be another month, just another month. And it dragged out, ended up being 9 months that he missed of that junior year of high school by the time we landed in London. And, you know, there was that fear that we were messing up our kids by taking such a leap of faith. and just all the typical fears that you have when you do something that's so irrational, I guess. And so it was about 14 months, and we had miraculous provision during that time. God really was and still is our daily bread. We took a 75% pay cut accept the Macedonian call to London. Yep, it's been a real challenge, but we're seeing God provide what we need. We've never gone without. We've always had what we need. And, as we do in these situations, we learn some really valuable life lessons. And I think our kids have learned those unique lessons for their own lives as well, watching us make decisions. But, they had to prove. So when we contacted the people that we know in England that we have relationships with, and, you know, it's kind of an odd thing to say, hey, we feel this call to London. You got anything available for us? You know, it's an awkward feeling. And so knowing my husband is a high capacity leader, and he is a big picture guy and creates strategy for church planning movements. And so they basically created a job for him. But they had to prove that no one in the entire EU, besides my husband, could actually do that job.
Oh my goodness!
Which feels really miraculous, you know, when you really think about it. And so that's why it took so long to get us there, to get us a visa to be there. But we're there now, and we're seeing some real fruit from our time there already. And it's just an exciting time for us, both for us and our kids.
Mm. That is so good. It's so exciting to see you're kind of on the other side of it now and can look back and see how God was working out all the details. I love the, what was the name of the garden that was in South Carolina?
So I loved a prayer walk. One of my favorite things to do is go on walks with my camera. And one of my favorite places in Pawleys Island is a place called Brook Green Gardens. And it's a historic garden with a big, giant, you know, several hundred year old big oak, giant oak trees with the swinging moss, you know, typical of the area. And I did a lot of prayer walking in Brook Green. It was a lot of special memories for me of just intimate conversations with God during a real time of loneliness. And when we got to London, miraculously, the church where we're serving, St. Barnabas in Kensington, they own two homes. And one of the homes that miraculously came available right at the time we were moving is in a place called Brook Green. So again, it just felt like another arrow God was pointing to, is I'm with you. I've been at work even when it seems like I'm silent. I've been orchestrating all the details in a way that will speak to who you are as people. And so we live in this beautiful, quiet, for London standards, beautiful neighborhood in a flat, surrounded by lots of young families with kids. And we just really love where we live.
I love that. I find, you know, they always say God is in the details, but it's so true. It's things like that, like, just can't be coincidence. And you just know it's like God's fingerprints.
Yeah, absolutely. And it, you know, just, I think we need those confirmations, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
When we're going through hard stuff and we second guess and doubt, you know, if we've made the right decision, when there is sort of a seemingly silent time period in that waiting zone. And I think God is so gracious to give us those sweet signs of his intimate nearness. And it was just when we found out we were moving in a little area called Brook Green, it just felt like a kiss on the cheek from God.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about, I mean, for me, during this whole process of you guys being called and in the wait, that Sabbath took such an important role and, of course, continues to. Sabbath is something that honoring the Sabbath is something that I grew up with in our family. Everything kind of just shut down on Sundays, and I appreciated learning that as a child. That was just part of our rhythm that we used Sunday. Everybody knew we were all revived by naps. Your Sunday afternoon nap. And I took one yesterday. So it's still something that I do. But I love how you talk about Sabbath. And so let's just kind of level set a little bit. You're talking about an actual 24-hour set-aside time once a week, right?
Well, actually, I believe that, you know, originally when God made it a commandment, the fourth commandment, it was a full day set aside. And I think, obviously, that is definitely the goal. But I think that, I think it's the one thing, when you say 24 hours, that keeps people from actually embracing Sabbath.
Okay.
I think that sometimes when people think a 24-hour period, they become overwhelmed with that amount of time that they're not producing, because we have so much responsibility for so many things.
Mm-hmm.
So what I always say is when Jesus died on the cross for us, he made the Sabbath a day of grace. And so I think what I encourage people to do is take a time period, and it doesn't have to be Sunday. It can be a time period of, you know, you start out with your lunch break and you go to a quiet park somewhere and eat your lunch and focus on, you know, being attentive to what's around you and listening to your heart and abiding with Jesus on a park bench. It can be, you know, a morning where you linger in your pajamas with the Bible or with a book you love and have real eye contact with God in a different way. And so I think when I talk about Sabbath, I'm talking about time set aside that's different and set apart. But I don't embrace legalism, which says it absolutely has to be on a certain day or a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And actually what I've sort of adopted over time, and I think you've talked about this a little bit, but I actually start mine on Saturday evening.
Yep.
And then go through, you know, I'm not, you know, you go through the whole, like, you talk about legalism. You know, I'm not perfect at it, but in my heart, I try to go from Saturday evening and then through Sunday evening. I just found, well, there was one study that I did that actually said that the days really began in the evening. And then ended, of course, in the evening then. And so that was a real kind of help for me that Sunday, well, Sunday for me was always the one that I picked. So that Sunday would actually start on Saturday evening and go through Sunday evening. Because what I found for me is that everything fell apart on Sunday evening when my mind was moving towards the week and trying to get everything prepared for the beginning of the week. And I'm like, if I can just shift that back, you know, in concert with this whole kind of thinking about your day starting in the evening from Saturday evening to Sunday evening, I don't know, that's kind of the time period that's worked for me.
Right, exactly. And I think that's what I try to do as well. I begin at sundown on Saturday night, and I just leave dishes in the sink for 24 hours. I don't worry, I don't cook. My family knows I don't cook. In that 24-hour period, I try to do something in the crock pot ahead of time that will provide leftovers for us, or we'll order pizza or go out or something if we can. But it's much more relaxed. Sometimes we use paper plates, do things that sort of allow me to just not worry about things being messy and just leave things for a while. But I think the difference is, you know, you mentioned not doing Sabbath perfectly. And I think the goal is, you know, none of us, God doesn't expect perfection in the way that we rest, and it's not about resting perfectly, but resting in the one who is perfect.
Mm.
And so even if, you know, we have interruptions, which are inevitable, we're going to have interruptions to our plans to rest. There's no question about it. And so I think holiness inhabits our intentions. And I think sometimes, the main thing is we're intentional about being restful. And if we're intentional, it's going to happen. So sometimes, you know, your well-laid plans for 24 hours are just a few hours. But if you have that real attentive, focused time of abiding and resting well, it can fill you up in the way that a 24-hour rest period will. I think that's why we talk, I define the difference between routines and rhythms. I think sometimes when we get into routines, things like, routines are things like brushing our teeth, you know, taking a shower. They're important, but if we go without, if we have interruptions to our routines, then there's detrimental consequences. Like if we have a routine of putting out the garbage and we forget, there's consequences to that. If we have a routine of taking medicine at a certain time of day and we miss it, there's consequences to that. But with our rest, if we look at rest like a rhythm instead of a routine, rhythms meaning free-flowing, can be adapted around interruptions, then we don't feel that sort of guilt about not resting right or well or perfectly. And so that's sort of my approach on rhythms of rest. It's just the freedom to adapt rest to your unique life and the way you're created.
Well, I love that you talk about that, how we're each uniquely created, and how you talk about what you actually do to rest on your Sabbath. So I have, and this was really kind of eye-opening for me reading it, I've always had the thing, you know, you do nothing, you know, you're taking a nap.
Yeah.
But you talk a lot about doing things that, as long as it's not considered work in your heart. So for me, going out and gardening would probably be work because I'm going to weed and get dirty. And for me, that's not as restful most of the time. But for somebody else, gardening could be super restful. And in the same way, cooking, like, that would be a lot of work for somebody cooking, but maybe somebody, maybe even somebody that sees cooking as work, but sees baking with their children as restful when you're taking the time to do that. So talk a little bit about that. I think that was really eye-opening for me.
Yeah. I'm finding as I'm on this book tour, I think that that piece of it is really revelatory for a lot of people. And you think about, you know, so much of our how God made us is unique to who we are. I mean, no two people dress alike. Our houses are an example of our taste and our style and our preferences and color choices, you know, from the way we decorate a room to even the cars we choose to drive. We're so unique in our choices and the way that we express ourselves. And so the way that we rest is also unique to us as well. And so when people say, you know, I get the same question wherever I go. How do you do and what do you do? What's appropriate to do on Sabbath and what isn't? And my answer is, Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so what is easy and light to you? And so, for instance, sometimes I know this is strange, but I often enjoy or find great satisfaction in organizing drawers. And so sometimes I'll get this wild hair to organize some drawer, you know, or closet. And when I approach it, I think to myself, well, I can do that. But if it feels like a big mess, I'm going to have to clean up afterwards for hours and hours, then I realize, no, that's become a heaviness and a burden. That is not easy and light. So there are times when cooking feels really fun and creative and restorative, and other times when it feels like just a pile of dishes I'm going to have to do. So I think that is always the guideline for me. Before I enter sort of a Sabbath activity, something I love to do, I think, is this going to be easy and light and restorative, or is it going to feel heavy and burdensome?
I love that. That is a great guideline. Is this easy and light? I think that's a good question to be able to ask yourself when you're approaching these things.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I talked to somebody yesterday. I spoke at a church here. I'm in Nashville. And a woman said, you know, I asked that question, people to ask, what is it that invigorates you? Because I think sometimes we spend a lot of time as Christians glorifying God, but we forget that He wants us to enjoy Him. Mm-hmm. So how do we enjoy God? What invigorates us? And she said, you know, I love to paint, and I haven't done that for 7 years. So basically, she's saying, a part of how God created me has been pushed to the back burner for, you know, whatever I'm responsible for. And so there is a part of us that sort of is lost in busyness when we don't allow ourselves or give ourselves permission to do things that are restful to who we are.
Mm, that's so good. I've been, another way I've recently had somebody ask me that kind of question too, is what stirs your affections for Jesus? And that may be another way to look at it too.
Absolutely. I always think of Sabbath as sort of a dinner date that you have with your, you know, your spouse, or a fun evening out with girlfriends. when you think about doing something like that, you're thinking about planning ahead, making a reservation, thinking about what people enjoy doing, how what they like to eat, if you're going to see a movie, what genre, you know, would really, you would, the other person would love to watch. And I think about that in terms of Sabbath, and I think, you know, it's a time when we have direct eye contact with God, when so much of our time is we're, you know, turned away from Him, doing things, listening to Him sort of over our shoulder, but we often don't have that direct eye contact with God. And so, it makes a big difference in the way we approach it if we plan ahead and prepare.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So, and really, so we prepare, we make room in our lives for this, and then choose things that are easy and light on those days. So what have you found to be, and you talked a little bit about this earlier, but what have you found to be the benefits of, you know, having this rhythm of rest in your life?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, there's so many. But I think, you know, one of the things, practical things, is on Sabbath I take time to pray for other people. And because Sabbath isn't just about me. It's not a selfish ambition. It's about being attentive also for other people who we love in our lives. And so there are many times in the Sabbath Society letter that I send out, I ask for prayer requests. And I really spend intentional time praying on somebody else's behalf. And without fail, 100% of the time, God has given me specific words for not all, but the majority of people. And I risk sending those words of encouragement or insight or prophetic words to other people. And without fail, they are always from the heart of God. And reach into people's lives in such a profound and dramatic way. And so that's just one practical way of, you know, the nearness of God in our lives can actually be a blessing to the people around us as well. Another benefit is just not feeling overwhelmed about life. Sometimes I get overwhelmed by all I have to do on my schedule, and there is this sense of, when we let go of what how we're producing and that becoming so much of our identity, and just allowing that trust to take over, that God's going to redeem our time, that He is the one that created the work that we're doing, that it's because of the purpose he creates within us that we can do it. And when we let go of it and relinquish it, it is a real gift to see how God does. In charge of our minutes. He is the one that gives us breath and life and purpose. And so it's just good to remember why we work in the first place, why we're parenting, you know, why He created us as parents, and why we're doing what we're doing is all about Him. Sometimes we forget that in the busyness of life. So those are just a couple practical ways.
I love that. You talk about trust, because I think that's really what it boils down to when we're able to stop the busyness into rest. We're really communicating a trust.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think in the way that He meets us there, and one of the chapters I have the most highlighted is the one where you talk about rest and love are connected.
Yeah.
I think that's the way God, you know, speaks His love to us, is in the Sabbath.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think, you know, most of us approach it as a set of rules to follow or some kind of spiritual hoop we jump through in order to attain sainthood somehow. But actually, it's unfortunate that we've approached it that way, because it's God's great gift to us, because He knows how much we will, how easy it's going to be for us to forget Him in the busyness of life, and how much He longs to be with us. He's our Father. He knows what we need. And, it's just important to spend that time that's set apart. Different than a quiet time. It's intentional. It's eye contact. It's I sense a real intimacy with God on the time that I choose to Sabbath that's different than the other times. Mm-hmm. I quiet with Him.
Yeah. Well, I just love this and just encourage everybody to make this rhythm of rest a part of their life and pick up this book because you want to read the whole thing. It's just beautiful writing, Shelley. I really, really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad that you're enjoying it. Hope it will be an encouragement to you as you continue to Sabbath as well.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to. I just finished this book up yesterday in preparation for today. And I really want to try new things on my Sunday and different connection ways to connect with God. So I appreciate that.
Sounds great.
Well, thanks for being here. How can people connect with you online?
Okay. So I'm on Instagram at Shelley Miller Writer. And they can find my website at ShelleyMillerWriter.com. I'm also on Facebook, the same address, Shelley Miller Writer. And, those are the main places where you can connect with me. You can join the Sabbath Society through my website under the tab Sabbath Society. Again, ShelleyMillerWriter.com.
All right. Well, thanks again so much for being here, Shelley.
Thanks, Amy. I really appreciate it. It's been lovely to talk to you.
Okay, guys, so don't you just want it to be Sunday so you can try out Sabbath again? I was really inspired by the concept of doing what is light and easy during Sabbath and really being intentional to spend time with God during that time. So even though resting on Sunday has been part of my routine for most of my life, I don't think I've been intentional with the purpose. So for me, it's been about making sure I rest and honoring God's commandment. But I think Shelley really shifted my perspective on seeing it as a way to show God I trust Him and let Him speak to me too. And just being really intentional about what I'm doing and how that's fostering a relationship with Jesus through that. I love how she talks about preparing for it just like you would a date. And you're thinking about what you're going to do and doing everything ahead of time to get ready. It does give a different sense of excitement about it. I'm always excited about my Sunday nap, but the focus was really on me and my physical needs. But I'm hoping as I approach this in the future that my focus will really shift to that relationship. And I think this is so important as we think about really spending time with God to hear what it is He's trying to teach us and maybe how He's confirming the work in our lives. And man, rest is so important as we're following God and taking these leaps of faith. So often it's so emotionally and spiritually draining. And just to have that one day set aside to refuel physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So I hope you guys go sign up for the Sabbath Society and start getting her letters and then pick up her book, Rhythms of Rest. We were just able to touch on her story today, and it's really so beautiful how she wove the lessons about Sabbath and her story of moving to England together in the book. All right, so another reminder about the mug that's on sale, amyjbennett.com/shop, and the code is MUGS, M-U-G-S. Also, I don't think I've mentioned in a few episodes, but you can find show notes over at featherspodcast.com. So I think that's it for this week, guys. Thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next week on Feathers.